As we look at 1 Thessalonians 4, of course, it's just the next passage that we've been looking at in Thessalonians. But as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we can look at this passage, and it clearly gives us several reasons why we should avoid immorality. Several reasons from God's word why we should not be involved in any immorality in any form. I was reading, probably a month or two ago, in an article. And in that article, it says that, and I can't remember exactly, it's either 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 of every adult has a sexually transmitted disease in America. 1 in 4 or 1 in 5. And our world tells us that the revolution, the sexual revolution, has been good. I have talked to people over the years, and they've given me all kinds of excuses as to why living together outside of marriage or messing around, fooling around, getting involved physically with others, why it's okay. Some people have said to me, well, you know, it just feels so good. Some have said, but, you know, I really love them. Some have said, you know, what I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to lower the divorce rate. Because so many people are getting divorced, I am going to live with this person and find out whether we should get married or not. And since we're just living together, if marriage isn't going to work, you know, we'll just separate and we'll live together with someone else and live together with someone else until we finally find the right person. Then we'll get married. Some have told me, we're not hurting anybody, so it's okay. Some have told me, there is nothing wrong with what we're doing. And who are you to tell us or to set the moral standard? So people have all kinds of reasons why it is okay to break God's moral standard and go off on their own and do whatever they want to do. Listen to what the average parent tells the average teenager when they find out that teenager is doing something morally that they know they shouldn't be doing. They will say something like this: well, you know, I'm just really not happy with what you're doing, but if it makes you happy, I'm going to support you. I know someone who is a homosexual. And being a homosexual, they are involved in all kinds of immoral behavior. I was talking to this person a while back, and as I talked to them, they had a headache. So I said, well, I have some Tylenol. How about I give you some Tylenol? And they said, no, I'm afraid to take medicine. And I thought, you're afraid to take medicine because it may hurt you, but you're going out and doing all kinds of activity that gives you a very real chance of catching AIDS or something else, and you're not afraid of that. And that's where a sinful heart so takes hold of a person that they're willing to throw all discretion to the wind and just go out and do whatever they want to do. Well, this morning from 1 Thessalonians 4, I want to give you several reasons why you should avoid immorality. Let's look at the first one. Several reasons why you should avoid immorality. Begins in verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now this is within context of the whole issue of morality, and I would say this gives us the first reason why we should avoid immorality, and it's this: avoid immorality because God wants you to please Him. Avoid immorality because God wants you to please Him. Everyone tells us in the world, the only thing that really matters is if you please yourself. What really matters is all you got to do is really make yourself happy. If you make yourself happy, then everything is great. Talk to people who don't know Jesus Christ or in a religion that's leading them to hell, and they'll say, well, you know what, but I'm happy with my religion. Question is God happy? Someone will say, well, you know I'm not where I should be in my life, but I'm happy with where I'm at. Now, the real question is God happy with where you're at? We should live a life that is right before God because God wants us to please Him. And pleasing God is more important than pleasing yourself. It's more important than pleasing your friends. It is more important than pleasing anyone else you could think of. Paul says here in verse 1, this is what we instructed you to do, to live your lives in order to please God. The word please means to be acceptable to please, to try to please. So he's saying, we told you that as you live your life, you ought to live your life in such a way that your lifestyle, your actions, your words, the things you do are acceptable to God. I wonder this morning, can you say that the way you're living is acceptable to God? Live in order to please God. Tells us in verse 2, he gave them that instruction while he was with them. Live to please God. These are brand new Christians. The thing Paul said is, look, I don't have time to tell you a lot of different things, but this thing you need to know, live to please God. So he gives them this instruction while he was with them. He's now writing again in this letter that they ought to live to please God. And I want you to notice in verse 1, he says, as in fact you are doing. As I look at your lives, you are doing that. You are living to please God. You might get that letter and say, oh, that's great. Man, my life is pleasing God. Everything's good. I'm okay. I can kind of stagnate for a while. I can kind of sit back in the couch and feel good about myself. I'm good. Paul, the Apostle Paul said he looked at my life and I am living to please God. But I want you to notice that Paul doesn't stop there. He's not pleased with that. He says in verse 1, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more. Yes, you're living to please God, but you know what? I want you to do it more and more. I ask and urge. It's kind of like a gentle word than a stronger word. We may say it this way today. I want you to do this. In fact, I insist on you doing it. He used this very word, these words more and more to refer to their love overflowing. More and more has the idea of abundance to exceed a measurement, to be more than what is needed. Since immorality does not please God, we ought to avoid it. We don't say, but it makes me happy, so it's okay. No, immorality does not please God, therefore we ought to avoid it. People will say, if it makes you happy, but they're wrong. People will say, you must do whatever you can, whatever it takes to make yourself happy, but they are wrong. The person that we need to please first and foremost is not ourselves, it is God. And God tells us to avoid sexual immorality. So if I give no other reason this morning, that ought to be reason enough. That we ought to live our lives in such a way, not necessarily that we're happy, but He's happy. In fact, then our goal is that if we're living a life that makes Him happy, that ought to make us happy. If we're living in the center of God's will, we ought to be the happiest we could ever be because we know we're making Him happy. But there are more reasons. Reason number 2, avoid immorality because it's contrary to God's will. Avoid immorality because it is contrary to God's will. Beginning in verse 3 down through verse 6, he gives us 5 things about God's will to show us that we ought to avoid immorality. Actually, there's six. Notice verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. So the first thing we learn here about God's will is that God's will is that we be sanctified. God wants you to be sanctified. That's a pretty big word. The word simply means to set something apart. If I had sin on this side and I had God on this side, if that microphone is sin and that microphone is God, the word sanctified kind of carries this idea that at some point in my life, man, I'm over here. Yeah, I'm in. I'm doing what everybody else is doing and I'm really happy about it. But God tells us we need to repent of our sin. We need to turn away from our sin. We need to turn towards God. So sanctification is the process in my life where I'm turning away from this and I'm coming over here to build a relationship with God. I'm walking away from sinful activity and a sinful lifestyle, and I'm beginning to live a life that is pleasing and a life that is right in God's word. The idea is that God begins a work in my life, and there's a partnership, and He's changing me from the inside out. And then I'm going to God's word and going to church and I'm seeing what God wants me to do. And I'm joining in with the work of God in my life to say no to that which is wrong and to say yes to that which is right. God's will is that we should be sanctified. The end result of sanctification is holiness. The end result of sanctification is Christ-likeness. God wants your life to be continually changing so that your actions, your words, your thoughts, the things you look at, every part of your being and lifestyle is holy before God and separated from sin. Every so often I'll hear, usually a guy, but not always, they will say, you know what, it is all right if I look as long as I don't touch. No, that's not holiness. That's not holiness. Some will slip with foul language or say foul language, but I want you to know, the Bible says that foul language comes from our heart. If it's not in your heart, it's not going to come out. If it's in your heart, then sooner or later it pops out. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to live a life that's different from this world. It's His will. We think of God's will about, you know, should I buy this car, that car? Should I do this job, that job? Should I go to college, not go to college? God's will is that you be holy. And if you want God's will for all those other things, look, it begins with what we already know, and that is that God wants us to be holy. Now notice the second part of God's will here. It's also found in verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. And then number 2, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That you should avoid sexual immorality. I'm going to use this word avoid all through this morning, so let me define it for you. It's based on this part of verse 3. The word avoid means to keep away from something. To abstain from something, to keep your hands off someone. It's a word that would refer to a ship that's anchored in the bay and it's far from shore. It is a word that would speak of a person that went on a journey, went on a vacation, and they're now a long way away from home. Avoid sexual immorality. Now, because of what happened with a certain president a few years back, there has been a confusion regarding what sexual immorality is. But let me state it for you plainly this morning, as plainly as I can this morning. Sexual immorality is simply a physical relationship, a sexual relationship with anyone other than your spouse. If you are having that kind of relationship to someone you are not married to, you are involved in what the Bible calls, what God calls, immorality. Doesn't matter the excuse you use. It is immorality, and God says to avoid it, to stay away from it. Now, let me also say this morning that sex is not a bad thing. God created it. It is part of the human experience. It is a good thing, but it is a good thing inside marriage. Outside of marriage, it is sin. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. But God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So often this world says, you know, Christians say it's a taboo, it's a bad thing. No, it's not. But inside marriage, not outside. God's will is no sex outside of marriage. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says of Christians, look, in your life there shouldn't even be a hint of it. In your life there shouldn't even be a hint of it. Talked to a man a couple years ago, and they were having difficulties in their marriage. And the wife said to the husband, I don't like the way that you do things around other women. And he said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, you tease and you play and you flirt. And he said, well, what's wrong with that? And I kind of sat back in my seat. I said, you're a married man and you don't think there's anything wrong with flirting with other women? You know, our world is so involved in immorality on TV and the movies and in lifestyle that we could walk and flirt and do all those kinds of things and think there's nothing wrong with any of that. I said, well, hasn't your pastor in your church told you that that's not the kind of thing you should be doing? He said, no, I never heard anything like that. God says avoid sexual immorality. Don't put yourself in the place where you can get yourself in trouble. Avoid immorality. Third thing about God's will here is found in verse 4. Now, I'm glad you're seated because this is a real hard one to take in. That each of you should learn, dare I say the word, to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Each of you should learn to control your body, that a way that is honorable. So it is God's will that we control our body. Learn to control. Know how to control. There's another word for it. I try not to use it too often because when I do, people kind of look funny. It's the word discipline. We're kind of losing that word in our language today. The ability to say no to things. Living our lives in a way that there may be something out there and at first it may feel great and everybody else is doing it and boy, it looks so good, but you know what? It's not for me. You know why it's not for me? Because it's not God's will that I get involved in that. So the answer is no. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, look, I beat my body into subjection, so after I preach to others, I myself might not be a castaway. I'm living my life in such a way that I'm disciplining myself, so I learn to say no. Proverbs chapter 5 is a whole chapter related to adultery. And I believe a whole chapter that tells us how not to commit adultery. But in that chapter, in verse 23, it's right near the end of the chapter, it says this about the man who committed adultery. Here's what it says about him. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Person who gets involved in immorality, what's the problem? They were unable to say no. And they will blame the other person. They'll blame everything else. They'll say, well, you know, it just happened. It's not my fault. It's not their fault. It just happened. Well, you know, my marriage is having a real difficult time, and their marriage is having a real difficult time, and now I finally believe I found my soulmate, and it just happened. Learn to control your body. Learn to be able to say no. Learn to be able to walk away from things. Our society lacks good old-fashioned self-discipline. What do we do with these bodies? Notice it says that the thing we ought to do with this body is that we ought to do holy things. We ought to do honorable things with our bodies. Do holy things, do honorable things, not immoral things. It's God's will that we control our bodies. Verse 5, number 4. It is God's will that we do not live lustfully. It is God's will that we do not live lustfully. Notice, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. The person who is living a lustful life is a person who does not know God. What's the difference between love and lust? The difference is that love is thinking of you. Lust is thinking of me. The difference is that love is self-sacrificing. Lust is selfish. Love seeks to do something for you that will make you better. Lust seeks to do something for me that will make me happier. Those who live their life according to lust, the Bible says they do not know God. In fact, a lustful life, an immoral behavior, is a life that has refused to respond to God's revelation. Romans 1, 28 to 32. The Bible makes clear that that's the lifestyle of the world, and we must reject that lifestyle. Number 5, it is God's will that we do not take advantage of others. It is God's will that we do not take advantage of others. Verse 6. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. Committing a physical relationship outside of marriage is taking advantage of someone else. See, now wait a minute. No, it isn't. We love one another. No, read it again. And that in this matter, the matter of sexual immorality, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The word wrong here is a word that means to sin against. The word take advantage means to defraud. Kind of has the idea of stealing from someone, that you tricked them out of something. You cheated them. Listen to this morning. Listen. If someone says to you, I love you, and if you love me, you will. What you ought to say back to that person is, if you really love me, you will not ask. Because for me to do what you want me to do would be a sin against me and a sin against you. We would be cheating one another. And we would be putting ourselves in the place of God's judgment. Notice the middle of verse 6. The Lord will punish all men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. Sixth thing that is true about God's will is that God will punish sexual immorality. God will punish sexual immorality. God will punish that type of behavior. We see the example of that in Genesis 18 and 19, where God's judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. Whatever excuse you're using to do that which is against the word of God, I want you to know God will not buy it. I'm sure every so often, if your children are older, if they're not, they may do it in person. Your phone rings. And on the other end of your phone is your child. And they say to you, you know, Dad, you're just the greatest dad. Dad, I just love you so much. Dad, your discipline and training in my life, you know, it was so much better than all my friends' fathers. You're going to be on the other end of the line and say, okay, what do you want? What trouble are you in? I'm not buying that for a minute. What are you trying to get? God's going to say the same thing. God, it's not my fault. That person got me doing this. God, you know what? We didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Everybody else was doing it. God, you know what? We really did care for one another. The Bible makes clear that if you get involved in immorality, you will face the judgment of God. I think there's a present judgment involved. All you have to do, as I said at the beginning, is look at all the diseases that are going around. And you know what? There's not a cure to those diseases. Some of them will kill you. Some of them will infect other people. 1 in 4, 1 in 5 adults have a disease because they're unwilling to remain faithful to their spouse or remain faithful to the Word of God. You know, the way we could stamp out these diseases, it's almost, you know, nonsensical. All you got to do is start living a moral life. And tragically, people who are hemophiliacs and got a transfusion, at least in the beginning, not so much now, they were catching these diseases and dying because not of anything they did, but because the sinfulness of other people rained down in their life. There's also a future judgment that the Bible speaks of. And understand this clearly. If you live an immoral life, it shows that you do not know God. I can't tell you how many people come up to me and they say, well, I don't go to church, but you know what? I read my Bible. Okay, that I think, you know, God says that's good enough. Well, you know, I don't go to church, I don't read my Bible, and I know I'm living with this person, I shouldn't be living with them, but, you know, for us to split up right now, we don't have the money to be able to do that, so we got to stay together so that we can make financial ends meet. I want you to know God's not going to buy those excuses. The judgment of God will come. Either today or for all eternity. This is God's will for your life, that you avoid that. Well, number three. Avoid immoral behavior because it opposes the call of God. Notice verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to a holy life. God's call in your life is not to be impure. God, you know, you're never going to wake up in the middle of the night and hear a voice saying, it is God's will today that when you wake up, you go out and be immoral. No, God's desire is that you be holy. Separated from that mic and kind of hanging on this mic. Away from sin and over to God. That's God's will. Be holy. Live a life that is pleasing in God's sight. You do that by being holy. Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. What is the calling that they're talking about? The calling that they're talking about here in Thessalonians and in Ephesians is the calling to be a Christian. In other words, once you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross to die for your sin, to take away your sin, and you ask Him to come into your life and save you, that is God's call for you to become part of His family. And once you receive that call and you become part of God's family, then it is God's desire that birth, that spiritual birth, continues to well up in your life, well up in your body, so that the life you lived then is much different than the life you're living today. And 5 years from now and 10 years from now, so that when you come and you stand before Jesus Christ face to face, eye to eye, the end result is that you are a mature believer in Jesus Christ. You go out and live an immoral life, that goes against your call. It opposes it, stands against it. It's contrary to it. And number four. Verse 8. Therefore, kind of summing it all up. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Number four is avoid immoral behavior because its practice is a rejection of God. You know, you may be listening this morning or someone reads this and they say, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I'm just going to do what I want. I don't care what that says. Well, realize if that's your thinking, then you have rejected God. Or let me say it another way. When you reject the instruction of God, when you reject the will of God, when you reject the call of God, you have rejected God. When you choose to do immoral things, you are showing that you have rejected God. You can't say I'm following God, or you can't say I'm a believer and then not live according to God's word. Hear it all the time. I love God, but I don't go to church. I love God, but I don't give to his work. I love God, but I don't serve God. I love God, but I don't live the way God wants me to live. The Bible makes very clear that we are to not live according to the pattern of this world. If everybody else is doing it, we are to reject it. So where are you at then this morning? You might be here this morning and say, hey, you know what? I've already been there. I've already done the things you're talking about. I'm in trouble. I don't have any hope. God's going to judge me and that's it. I'm done for. But we serve a great God. The Bible says if you will turn to Jesus Christ and turn away from your sin, or maybe you've already turned to Christ and you have all that guilt from what you did before, the Bible says if you will ask God for forgiveness, sincerely ask God for forgiveness, turning away from that kind of lifestyle, you know what? The Bible says God will forgive you. Of all the immoral behavior, of all the immoral thoughts, of all the immoral actions, God is willing to completely forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you turn to him. But there's another issue. You might be here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I'm battling some of those demons and I'm trying to stay away from that kind of thing. Do you have any advice for me on what I could do to make sure that I don't give in to that stuff? Let me give you a couple really quick thoughts. Number one, see it for what it is. I don't care how you package it. I don't care how you cover it. I don't care what excuse you use. If you are involved in immorality, it is sin. If you are living together with someone outside of marriage, it is sin. If you are having behavior that is immoral, it is sin. See it for what it is. Number two, set up some hedges in your life. Set up some hedges. If I were driving down the road and I saw one of you ladies out on your car and you're trying to fix your flat tire and you say, hey, here comes Tom, now I can get out of the rain. You better get an umbrella because I'm just driving right by. But I'll call someone with my cell phone. May get out and change your tire, but I'm not getting in the car with you. Why? Because there's some hedges, and one of my hedges is I'm not going to be alone with another woman outside my wife or my mother. It's just a hedge. Am I afraid that I'm going to do something crazy? No. Am I afraid they're going to do something crazy? No. You know, I have some battle in my life that I can't control? No. Just trying to be smart. Here's a real simple thing. If you don't put yourself in the place of sin, it's not going to happen. Set up some hedges. And there's many hedges you can set up in your life. And then number three, run. Run. First chance you see of temptation coming your way that is immoral, run. Don't stay there and say, well, you know what, I'm a strong Christian, I can fight this. Don't. Run. As fast as you can, get out of the way, run. Don't even stay near it, just run. Someone's making you uncomfortable, making you feel funny, and you're beginning to think there might be something there, just turn around and walk away. Run. How sad it is when a pastor or a church member gets put on the news because they've messed their life up because of immorality. This world just sits back and says, yep, there's those phony Christians again. Talk about being moral and they're not moral themselves. God's will, God's call, God's plan, God's desire is that we live a holy life. Let's pray. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you may be here this morning saying, yeah, I was part of that. Maybe you still are. But you realize now it is wrong and you want to get God's forgiveness. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to walk up here. I just want you right there between you and God. No one else is going to know. Tell God you're sorry. Tell him you're going to turn away from it. And ask him to forgive you. And believe it. Believe that God will. If you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm battling some of those things. Turn to God and ask for help. Begin thinking about hedges you can put in your life to keep a wall between you and that kind of sin. Father God, help us to please you. Give us the strength and courage to be able to say no. I pray, Lord, that in everything we do, you might be pleased with our life. Touch our tongues. Touch our feet. Touch our hands. Touch our brain. May our words, may our lifestyle, may our thinking be pleasing in your sight. Help us, Lord, never to go down that immoral path, that we may be able to say to everyone around us, follow me as I follow Christ. For we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.